Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
And we're back to the Lindsay Clancy trial. Lindsay Clancy texted her mother-in-law on November 30th of 2022. Here's what the message said. I'm not okay, and I'm terrified of taking meds tonight. Susan Clancy received that text. She's a nurse practitioner who spent 38 years working labor and delivery at South Shore Hospital in Massachusetts. She knew what postpartum distress looked like. She referred Lindsay to the hospital's postpartum support program. She told the jury on Tuesday that Lindsay was begging her for help. Or as the prosecution puts it, blatantly disregarding her symptoms and regard for herself or anyone else's life or care for anyone else whatsoever. She hated the world and she was worshiping Satan. That's the prosecution. She's begging for help. If you're still in the let's crucify her camp, I feel bad for the people in your life. On day 15 of the murder trial in Plymouth Superior Court, the defense called Susan as its second witness. She described Lindsay as a wonderful mother who was very nurturing and very loving. She said the families had a good relationship and saw each other a couple of times a month. The prosecution had a different version of that relationship because, of course, they did. On cross-examination, the prosecutor revealed that Lindsay told her therapist she was not close with her in-laws and did not generally allow them to watch the children. The Clancy grandchildren never stayed overnight at Susan's house. The family believed children should stay in their own home. Lindsay's parents provided the hands-on support when she needed help with the kids. Susan testified she was unaware of what Lindsay had told the therapist. Susan also testified she forwarded Lindsay's texts about medication fears to her prescribers. Lindsay had described withdrawal symptoms from benzodiazepines and said she was terrified. She could not sleep without the pills. The texts came weeks before the killings. So people who were not the actual family were telling the jury how the family's relationship really was, despite the fact that the family themselves are saying, no, that's not reality. Nice bow, by the way. Why are you wearing that every day? That's kind of weird. Are you like repressed in third grade or what's going on here? Oh, and by the way, it is also, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, a mortal sin to wear a bow like that in your hair after third grade. Are you aware it's a mortal sin, bitch? Are you aware? That was the other fun part where the ADA asked the mother of Lindsay if she's aware that murder is a mortal sin. Snuck it into there. And then the judge told her to shut the F up in not so many words. Off the rails. With emotion and conjecture, and it seems everybody is doing anything they possibly can in this case to not accept reality. The people watching it, the TikTokers, the prosecution. This is not that complicated of a case. Woman begs for help. Woman in a very serious state of mental distress. After having her third child, has a pattern, has a history of this, begs for help, feels like she's losing control, describes losing control, describes having feelings that should not be there, of possibly harming herself or the kids, over and over and over, begs for help, eventually falls into a psychotic state, horrible things happen. And now, for some reason, society wants to pretend that none of the begging for help, none of that exists. It's all just a woman who wanted out of her marriage and was going to kill the kids to do it. I don't know how we get there. I don't know how one just dismisses the major part of the story of what was building up to this and pretends it's not part of it or puts it on mute or acts like it's not the most massive contributing factor to this whole damn thing. If you're able to compartmentalize this thing within itself and remove that major chunk of the story as not being part of the equation, I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on with you. I'd question your decision-making abilities on a lot of things if that's what's going on. A woman who worked in maternal health for nearly four decades watched her daughter-in-law deteriorate and pointed her towards the right program. The prosecution says the closeness Susan described is not what Lindsay described when she was speaking privately to clinicians. Day 15 was the defense's first full day of testimony. After the prosecution rested with 72 witnesses across 14 days, the defense called four witnesses in a single afternoon. Each carried a different piece of the insanity defense. The prosecution's 14-day case had included Apple Watch activity data from the night of the killings, phone search records, and testimony from the first responders who entered the home. It was built to prove that Lindsay understood what she was doing and chose to do it. Forensic psychiatrist Donald Condi testified next. He works at Cambridge Health Alliance and appeared as a defense expert. He did not treat Lindsay during her illness. He reviewed her complete medical records after the killings, though, and Condi told the jury that when Lindsay's Zoloft dosage increased from 25 milligrams to 50 in the fall of 2022, she reported feeling numb and unlike herself. Brain fog and sedation followed through November and into December. She told providers she felt like a completely different person. Or as the prosecution says, she said nothing and none of that exists. La, 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 la. Jury, pretend you didn't hear her pleading for help. He explained that antidepressants take up to 6 weeks to produce a therapeutic benefit, but side effects arrive immediately. Bet you didn't know that if you're arguing, well, the meds were the, she's doctor shopping, she's med shopping. Have you ever been on any of these meds yourself? Do you understand the half-life and the time it takes for them to actually kick in and how those side effects can hit you right away, despite there being no positive effects to the medication? Do you understand that? Have you been there? Have you? Have you? Or are you just spouting off bullshit of things you don't understand and the way you'd like the world to be? The medication was hurting Lindsay before it had the chance to help. Condi described the symptoms Lindsay reported when she returned to work as a nurse in September of 22 after her youngest son Callan was born. Those symptoms were consistent with postpartum anxiety and escalated through multiple providers and more than 13 medication changes in 4 months. Condi testified those providers did not always coordinate their prescribing. One would add a medication while another adjusted the dosage of something already in her system. Lindsay was taking multiple psychotic drugs that had not been prescribed by the same doctor, which should never happen, by the way. He described postpartum psychosis to the jury as a loss of the ability to distinguish what is real from what is not. He said psychosis typically presents with auditory hallucinations rather than visual ones. Lindsay, he testified, reported hearing a voice. Then Condi turned to the records themselves. He called the medical documents from Lindsay's providers somewhat sparse. He described records built on checkboxes with limited descriptive sentences. The system documenting her care was designed for efficient record keeping, not catching the mind in free fall. Remember the checkboxes? Well, it's not a checkbox. I couldn't check that. So we're just going to pretend the patient didn't say it, right? Well, there's not a checkbox for that. What am I supposed to do? Jesus Christ. One of Lindsay's doctors who cleared her for outpatient treatment 23 days before the killings had never treated a single patient with postpartum psychosis. She had no clinical experience with a condition the defense argues destroyed Lindsay's ability to understand reality. As the prosecution calls it, witchcraft. The doctor had conducted 14 telehealth sessions with Lindsay before clearing her. Why so many telehealth? What's going on? It was post-COVID. It was right at the end of COVID. If you remember correctly, if you had to get any sort of medical attention, that's pretty much the way they wanted you to do it at that moment in time. Some weren't even allowing inpatient visits. Do you remember? All those fun months after COVID, where nothing made sense and we did it because we had no effing choice. COVID made everything fucking crazy. COVID made everything fucking crazy. And then we don't remember what the fuck happened back then. And we go, why are they doing that? Yeah. By the way, those are the original lyrics to September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. They were ahead of their time. It was going to be COVID. It was like, what's COVID? When the song came out in the late 70s. They're like, this is what? Huh? So they had to go with September instead. Condi testified that telehealth through checkbox-driven systems made it harder to detect the deterioration happening between appointments. Psychologist Paul Zeisel followed Condi to the stand. He had visited Lindsay 45 times since the killings at the hospital where the remains, where she remains, as a paralyzed patient at that time. He's not a treating clinician in a formal capacity, and the prosecution questioned why he kept returning. Well, Zeisel testified that he allowed Lindsay to use his personal phone to call her husband, Patrick, while she was hospitalized. Lindsay is paralyzed from the chest down and cannot hold a phone on her own. Zeisel said he did it out of compassion for a woman separated from her family at that moment in time. He testified about what Lindsay told Patrick during one of those phone calls. She said she heard a male voice telling her she had no choice but to kill the children and then herself. If the jury believes that voice was real, the insanity defense stands. If they believe Lindsay constructed the claim after the fact, the prosecution wins. And all the ways that she was screwed over by the medical industry begging for help, I guess that doesn't matter. You just made the wrong choice, Lindsay. Begging for help, and then we over-medicated you and under-medicated you and mixed with this and that one and the other one, and then we didn't treat you right. And then you went into a psychosis. Seems like you're responsible for that. Oh, you begged for help over and over. Oh, well, we don't care. The babies. when nobody can argue this, when nobody can have an intelligent conversation about this case, they just go to the babies. Yes, it's horrific. Utterly fucking horrific. Back to the conversation, back to the talk about mental health and actually trying to improve the system so more women don't have to go through this sort of hellscape. But I know it's easier just to scream the babies and get a lot of people going, oh, I know the babies. Yes. Yes, short-sighted folks. The babies. We are aware that is why we are here today. That is horrible. That's not exactly what we're talking about at this moment in time. We're talking about how she got here. How a woman who otherwise loved her children, and there is nothing but a track record of love and care and wanting to get better. And so many people having the inability, it seems, to understand the human condition and the horrific ways the brain can work. Well, didn't happen to me. Didn't happen to that person. Must not have seen it. And I guess Thor is throwing thunderbolts through the sky at night because he's angry. That's what the thunderstorm is. It's actually Thor. Because if we're going to pretend that this doesn't exist and the postpartum doesn't exist and the psychosis is just all witchery and BS, might as well go back to that. Thor is throwing thunderbolts and that's how we're having rain. And God's crying. Makes sense, right? You can't see it. So it could be anything, right? The prosecution challenged Zeisel directly. Had he suggested Lindsay fabricate the story about hearing a voice? Yeah, because that's what a therapist likes to do. Go make this up, Lindsay. I would like to challenge my career and my standing and everything I've worked for my entire life to make a complete stranger testify to something that will only benefit them. And if it comes out that I encourage you to lie about that, I'm going to lose my medical practice and my standing and all of that license, all of it out the window. I'm going to risk that. Zeisel visited the defendant 45 times and gave her his personal phone because he gave a shit, because he was actually trying to produce care. And somehow the prosecution is finding a way to make that guy the bad guy, the guy who actually did give a shit and wanted to help and showed up 45 times in person. He's the bad one. He's the bad one in this case, just like the father, just like Patrick, who was with his wife through two other pregnancies of postpartum, survived that. The marriage amazingly survived that. And the third one, he's still by her side, even forgave her after she did this shit, and somehow he's the bad guy too. I tell you, this case is blowing my mind on the mental gymnastics that people are doing to make everything but the actual person who did this the bad guy, and then understanding that the bad guy itself was taken over by a broken brain. Because nobody has a bad guy at the end of the day, so we got to find one somewhere, right? It can't just be our brains don't always work great. The bad guy can't be the broken brain. It can't be the bipolar mixed with the postpartum and all the medications that were taken like fucking Tic Tacs. They can't be that. It can't be that, the actual definition of what happened here. No, it's Patrick. It's the doctor who gave a shit. It's everybody who cared. It's the family that was there for her. These are all the bad people. Somehow, that is what so many have conjured up in their mind to avoid dealing with the simple reality that our brains are capable of horrible shit. And I think people are doing that because their own brains have produced horrible shit. And there's such a reluctance, such a polar pull not to admit that to ourselves in any way, shape, or form, that maybe at some point in our life, we had a shitty thought, a horrible thought, a dark thought about something that we shouldn't have. And went, oh my God, what's going on there? Rather than accept our brains are capable of that, no, it's everything else. It's everything but that. There's so much projection going on in this case with the audience watching it and saying, can't accept the darkness of this because maybe it hits a little too close to home for people, I guess. I don't know. I'm okay with understanding this. Understanding this is the way to help people, is the way to understand ourselves better and others better. Pretending the shit's not real doesn't do that. The jury will decide whether he reported what she told him or became part of the defense team building a narrative. No other clinician visited Lindsay as frequently. Forensic pathologist Elizabeth LaPosada testified via Zoom from a remote location. She described Lindsay's injuries from the night of January 24th, 23. After the killings, Lindsay went headfirst through a second-story bedroom window. The impact compressed her spinal column and caused the paralysis she lives with. She landed on frozen ground at 32 degrees in wet clothing and was wearing only a t-shirt. Hypothermia set in because the spinal injury prevented her body from regulating its own temperature. She lay on the ground in freezing conditions until first responders found her and brought her inside. The fall fractured vertebrae in her cervical spine. She has no sensation or voluntary movement below her chest. LaPosada testified the injuries were consistent with a headfirst dive rather than a controlled jump. Oh, that doesn't go with the prosecution's theory either, that it was just, you know, a manufactured jump. She really wasn't trying to do anything to herself. She's just a liar. The prosecution challenged the mechanics of the fall on cross-examination. If Lindsay dove headfirst from the window, the prosecutor asked, where was a visible scalp injury or brain damage? LaPosada maintained that bruising must have occurred, but could not explain the absence in the medical documentation. The prosecutor then picked up an exercise band in front of the jury, the same type of band prosecutors allege Lindsay used in the killings of her three children. The prosecutor demonstrated its resistance and durability by stretching it. The act of using it would have required sustained physical effort and deliberate force. The prosecution has argued throughout the trial that Lindsay's action required awareness and intent. She called Patrick and sent him a text message before going through the window. Those communications, the prosecution says, show cognitive function inconsistent with the psychotic break. One other exchange shaped the afternoon. A question referencing mortal sin came up during testimony about Lindsay's Catholic faith. The judge struck it after the defense objected. This is where the DA literally looked at Lindsay's mother and said, you know that murder is immortal, the sin, right? And then the judge shut her down because it's fucking outrageous. Whatever the prosecution intended to establish about whether Lindsay understood her actions were a sin, the jury will not hear that argument through that particular question. The defense filed its objection before the prosecutor finished asking it. That door closed before it opened. The mortal sin question matters because the insanity defense turns on whether Lindsay knew what she was doing was wrong. If she understood the religious weight of killing her children, the prosecution argues she understood the moral weight. Court's resuming cross-examination of Paul Zeisel. The prosecution has signaled its targets. The relationship between Zeisel and Lindsay, when the voice claim first appeared in the record, and the physical evidence that points to awareness and sustained effort. The defense put four witnesses on the stand in one afternoon, a mother-in-law who called Lindsay wonderful and a psychiatrist who called her medical records sparse. A psychologist who heard Lindsay describe a commanding male voice, a forensic pathologist who described injuries from a headfirst fall through a second-story window. Prosecution spent day 15 arguing that collapse does not equal innocence. That Susan Clancy's version of a relationship with Lindsay does not match what Lindsay told her therapist or what the prosecutors interpreted out of the notes. That the voice claim appeared after the crime rather than before it. Over 200 witnesses are expected before the trial concludes. The prosecution will call its own psychiatric experts to challenge everything the defense put on the stand at some point as well. The defense has its theory on the record now. The prosecution will spend the rest of the trial trying to take it apart. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Burn her at the stake because she's a witch? Or try to understand mental health better so we don't have more women going through this and being failed so catastrophically by the medical system and society at large? You want to get access and listen to the court trial every single day in the courtroom, gavel to gavel. We got the audio for you on our podcast channel. The link is right there. The QR code is on the screen. I hope you'll join us. Go press subscribe and get in on all of that. Leave your thoughts in the comments section. We'll continue our conversation right there. Links are in the description. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I have been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I have been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.